is titled The Message to the Church in Laodicea. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing and understanding to our hearts this morning of his word. Now, as most of you know already, I grew up in the Salvation Army, and I quickly learned, as a good Salvation Army girl, that part of my service, expected service, was to go door knocking. Door knocking on Red Shield Sunday, which always happened to be around my birthday, usually. But that was something that was expected of us, to go door knocking for the Red Shield Appeal so we could raise money for the work of the Salvation Army. Now, when I was younger, I think it was quite a good experience. I enjoyed it because as you get older, you know what it's like. But the whole church would do that. That was part of what we did. Now, I remember as a child being quite nervous as I went up to the doors and knocked on the doors, because you never knew what was going to be behind that door. You never knew if it was going to be someone who was friendly, someone who'd say, oh, and plenty of people said, oh, I've been waiting for you. And they'd throw in money and you'd say, would you like a receipt? They'd say, no, that's okay. I met lots of lovely people. I met a few big dogs and a few people who were, yeah, they were okay. A few people who didn't answer the door, all those sorts of things. But I never knew what was behind those doors. So this morning, as we talk about doors, I want to turn this on. Hang on. It's amazing what you can see when you put your glasses on. Now, we should be able to see three doors. So we don't know what's behind these doors, but this morning, for three lucky people, there is a prize behind these doors. So, who are the lucky people going to be? How do I choose the lucky people? Okay, let me see. How will I choose lucky people? Roz, who do you think should be a lucky person today? Yeah, who out of this lot? Yeah. The kids always get prizes, so I thought let's do something for us. They don't know that we're going to give away prizes. So that's good. Got anybody in mind? Catherine. So you're in the group. Now, who else would we like to have in our group this morning? What about Emma at the back there? Emma? Now we need a guy. Is there a guy that's brave enough to put their hand up? Colin? We'll wake him up. Now Colin, you're not allowed to go to sleep for a minute. You can go to sleep when I start talking, that's fine. All right, so we've got three people and three doors. So Emma, would you like to go first? Which door would you like to choose? Door one, door two, or door three? You're going to go for three. All right. So this is your wonderful prize that you've won this morning. You're not sure what's going to be behind this door. Oh, my gosh. There's your prize. And might get, if Karina doesn't mind handing these out for me, that would be great. Don't show them what the other prizes are yet. All right, who's next? We'll leave. Unfortunately, Colin, you're the man, so you're going to have to be last. Catherine, which door would you like? Number one. Number one. Okay, let's see what's behind door number one. Oh, wow. Hand sanitizer. You'll never have to worry about germs again. And Colin, you've got door number two. Oh, well done, Colin. You can do all those dishes. Oh, wow. Let's give a clap to all our prize winners. It's not very often you come to church and you win prizes, but there you go. Today you did. So doors, we never know quite what's behind them, do we? Let's go to there. As we go about our daily lives, doors are something we encounter constantly. They mark transitions between spaces, they offer protection, and they grant us access to what lies beyond. But doors can also be powerful symbols of opportunity, choice, and invitation. Have you ever stood before a door, knowing that what's on the other side could change your life? Perhaps it was the door to a new job, a new home, or a relationship. In Scripture, doors hold even greater meaning. They represent spiritual opportunities, openings that can bring us closer to God. Today, we're going to explore the three doors that Jesus mentions in the Bible, the ones we've read about. These doors represent spiritual opportunities, openings that go beyond the physical, each offering a unique promise and invitation to a deeper life with Him. So let's journey together as we discover what awaits us when we choose to walk through these doors of promise. We're going to explore the door of the sheep pen, the door of prayer, and the door of repentance and restoration. So let's go with the door to the kingdom. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus in this scripture begins by identifying himself as the door of the sheep. As we looked at earlier in my illustration for the kids and the big kids, in ancient times, shepherds would literally become the door to the sheep pen, lying across the entrance to protect their flock. Jesus, as the door, offers us access to the kingdom of God, inviting us into a place of safety, nourishment, and abundant life. Wealth, power, and influence will open a lot of doors in the kingdom of this world, but the most important door, the one that leads to life, can only be opened by trusting and believing in Jesus and committing our lives to Him. The promise here is that through this door we find salvation and abundant life. Jesus contrasts himself with false shepherds who come to steal, kill, and destroy. He, however, comes to give life, life in all its fullness, eternal life that begins now. Hallelujah. Amen. As we live in his presence. This door is open to all who will enter. Jesus invites us to leave behind the dangers and distractions of the world and enter into the security and richness of life with him. By stepping through this door, we not only find safety, but also the purpose and fulfillment that come from knowing him. These scriptures for me gives fresh meaning to the words that David wrote, the psalm that he wrote. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As we live in this fallen world, waiting for God's kingdom to be established on this earth, we have to negotiate the difficulties, challenges, and temptations that this world brings. But we can know, like David did, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The next door is the door of prayer and seeking. In the Sermon on the Mount, where the people were sitting listening to Jesus, he extended an invitation to ask, seek, and knock. He assures us that if we knock, the door will be opened. This door represents the openness of God's heart to our prayers and his willingness to reveal himself to those who diligently seek him. Do you remember what James tells us in the scriptures? You do not have because you do not ask God. It makes me think that we need, as I've said before, we need to be much bolder in what we ask in Jesus' name. Sometimes, and I'm challenged by this, sometimes my prayers are not bold enough. So let's be bold in what we ask in Jesus' name. Let's pray for revival across our community, our nation, our world. Let's pray for not just one person, but for millions to enter the kingdom of God. Let's pray for a breaking of addictions. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for friends and family to be released from the grip of the evil one. Let's pray to be released from anger and bitterness and even hatred in our hearts. Let's pray big. Ask, seek, knock. The kingdom will be open to you. As we seek and we pursue a deeper relationship with God, we will increasingly understand and grasp hold of the profound depths of his nature and character. This journey of seeking is not passive. It requires intentional effort and a heartfelt desire to know him. Jesus assures us that as we seek, we will find, meaning that every step we take toward understanding God's heart will be met with his revelation. He wants to give us so much more. He wants us to know him more and more and more. And the more we know, the better it is. The more we seek him, the more he unveils his love, his wisdom, and his power. And he draws us into an ever closer communion with him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And be persistent and proactive. Keep on knocking. The promise from this scripture is that the door of prayer is a promise of God's responsiveness. If we ask, it will be given. If we seek, we will find. And if we knock, the door will be opened. This is a call to persistent faith, trusting that God hears us and desires to give us good gifts. This door challenges us also to cultivate a life of active pursuit of God. As I said before, it's not a passive thing. We can't just passively hope, oh yeah, God's here. We must seek it with intention. As we knock on this door through prayer, worship and study, God promises to open up his heart and his will to us. I read this comment somewhere and I really liked it. Jesus has handed us the most potent weapon ever known to mankind, the right to release the glory, presence, and power of God through asking, seeking, and knocking. Did you get that? The most potent weapon ever known, the right to release God's power, presence, and glory through asking, seeking, and knocking. We have to do it. We have to be proactive in the way we pray, and we have to be bold. I remember as a kid, this was one of the verses that I learnt. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. It's a great picture, isn't it? This, the third door, the door of repentance and restoration. This is the door in the message that Jesus gives to the church in Laodicea. This church had become lazy and indifferent, and they were almost indistinguishable from the pagan world surrounding them. Here, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, offering restoration to a church that has become lukewarm and distant. This door represents a call to repentance and a return to deep fellowship with Jesus. Even though the Laodicean church had left Jesus, he had not left them. He's the one knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door, longing for them to welcome him back in, to get back to their first love, to get back to him. This is a timely reminder for us as God's people, as his church, to make sure that he's not on the outside looking in. Jesus knocking is a profound act of grace. And this is the promise to us. It's an act of grace. Despite the Laodicean spiritual poverty, Jesus offers them a chance to repent, to open the door, and to dine with him, which is a symbol of restored relationship and intimacy. And for those who overcome, as we can read up there, there is a promise of sitting with him on his throne, sharing in his victory and authority. This door speaks to any of us, individually, or any of us as churches who've wandered and become complacent in our faith. Jesus does not abandon us. Instead, he pursues us, offering a path back to him. We are invited to respond to his knocking by repenting, opening the door of our hearts, and allowing him to restore us. These three doors, each with its own promise, invites us into different aspects of our walk with Christ. The door to the kingdom beckons us into a life of safety, abundance, and purpose under Jesus' care. The door of prayer calls us into persistent seeking and deepening relationship with God, assured that he will respond. The door of repentance and restoration offers a way back to intimacy with Jesus, even when we have strayed far away. As we reflect on these doors, let us examine our hearts. Have we fully entered into life that Jesus offers through the door of the sheep? Are we knocking on the door of prayer, seeking God with all our heart? Are we ready to open the door to Jesus' knock, allowing him to restore and renew us? May we be a people who walk through every door that Jesus places before us, living in the fullness of his promises and the joy of his presence. We can walk through the doors confidently because we can trust in his word and his promise to us. Amen.